You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello and welcome to Deep Cuts Lost and Found. This is round 24, our second show in the second season of Deep Cuts. We are a podcast of a bunch of best friends. We all graduated high school back in 1987 from Needham High School, Needham, Massachusetts. We have been sharing music ever since. We dig through crates trying to find deep cut songs, songs with a certain flair that we love with a good story. We're doing 1993 this time. Welcome to Deep Cuts. Thank you again for joining us on Deep Cuts Lost and Found. Again, round 24, 1993 is the year. I'm here with Bill Federko, Chris Nashawaty, Rich Eyre, and Derek Brain, and myself, Thomas Golubich. We're going to be sharing with you some of our favorite songs, overlooked songs, songs that we think are really special from 1993. We opened the season up with a theme song, right? We did summer songs, right?
We did.
And then we decided we'd kind of roll back into the years and kind of work through this second season and kind of see what the 90s and the early 2000s sounds like, which I think will be a fun little adventure. How do you guys feel about getting back into 1993? Anybody feel like they kind of felt rusty going in and it felt a little bit weird to do the digging?
Nothing a little WD-40 couldn't take care of.
Totally. Well, let's talk a little bit about the year. So I think, Billy, you're doing the history in the year. So what was happening in 1993?
Yes, I get to be the historian today. And I guess I'll start with the biggest stories of 1993, the world historical events. And we got to start, of course, with Rick Astley and his retirement from music. The guy who famously sang Never Gonna Give You Up decided to give it up in 1993. Yes, after 5 long years of show business, Rick Astley retired at 27 after selling 40 million records. Very impressive. If you all recall, he came out of retirement in 2007 when Rickrolling became a theme. That was when you would click on a hyperlink and all of a sudden, Never Gonna Give You Up, the video would show up. Very weird internet meme.
His early retirement may have been a genius move. In
yeah.
I don't think you've ever sound more dad-like explaining the Rickrolling meme to people.
Yeah, exactly.
God, man, I think everyone in the world knows that, but okay.
Does everybody know Rickrolling, Nash? Do you know Rickrolling?
Of course.
Well, the other big event was, of course, the first accidentally gay doll, the Ken doll, introduced in 1993. It was called the Earring Magic Ken. Does anybody remember this doll?
No.
I take umbrage with accidentally gay Ken. Ken was never accidentally gay.
He's aggressive.
Yeah, he was all, right out of the box.
But he didn't always wear a mesh lavender shirt with a matching colored pleather vest. Okay.
So it was like he was 80s gay.
He was 80s gay.
Okay.
Got Miami Vice gay.
Right. Well, Dan Savage remarked on the fact that he was accidentally gay when he noticed the necklace he was wearing. It was a long necklace and it had a ring on the end and it wasn't a ring for your finger.
It was a cock ring. You can say it.
No, they did not intend to market it that way. As Lisa McKendall, the manager of marketing communications of Mattel Toys, said to the Chicago Reader, "We're not in the business of putting cock rings in the hands of little girls." So,
that a great is some moment savvy in PR. Yeah, savvy PR.
Edward Bernays would not be proud of that moment in PR. So anyways, moving on to more serious events. Bill Clinton was elected as president. Apartheid ended in South Africa. Rudy Giuliani became the mayor of New York City.
Speaking of cock rings.
Very nice. Construction began on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. At the movies, Jurassic Park debuted, and that was a runaway hit, and they're still making it now, what, 29 years later? What is it, Jurassic World?
Dominion.
Dominion, thank you.
It was the latest
one, yeah. I hope everybody rushes out to that. And fun fact, I know Rich loves the fun facts. I discovered what the sound of the velociraptors barking was made from. Anybody? Yes, it was tortoises mating. So somebody recorded that and figured that sounds like a velociraptor.
That's some good Foley work.
Yeah, right there. That's a weird Foley gig.
More seriously, Unforgiven was Best Picture.
Great movie.
I also remember that was the year of The Piano, a movie I almost, it was, I think I saw it the day after New Year's Eve in Harvard Square. I was a little hungover. It was rough.
It's not a movie to see when you're hungover.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when Harvey Keitel decided, to share his wares, so to speak.
It's a very phallocentric introduction.
Let's talk about the bridges of Madison County, if we could.
let's talk about the Washington Monument, shall we?
All right, moving on.
Well, I'll end with this. Who had a 5-week talk show in 1993? Anybody remember?
Pat Sajak.
Chevy Chase.
Poor Chevy.
Yeah, poor Chevy. Brilliant.
Five weeks too long.
It was bad, wasn't it?
It wasn't his medium.
No. Oh, good. But he'd already turned into a crank at that point.
He's already pretty surly.
So yeah, 1993, a good year.
Not from what you just described, really.
Did I forget to mention that Whitney Houston was at the top of the charts?
Yeah. No.
There was a lot of great independent music, though. Lots of good indie alternative music, and I'm sure we'll be talking about that next.
Well, I hope so. Otherwise, we don't have a show.
That's true. I'll start off tonight. So 1993 was a really exciting year, partly because the Pixies split up, which was sad and I think heartbreaking for those of us who are big fans of theirs. But two great records came out that same year. One of them was The Breeders' Last Splash. The other one is Frank Black and his solo record. And I'm going to play a song called Los Angeles. This is the first song that I heard from this record. I remember putting the record on and just having it really loud and sitting right between two speakers like that Maxell ad, and it felt really good. So here is Los Angeles from Frank Black. It is 1993, Deep Cuts, Lost and Found, round 24.
I met a man, he was a good man, sailing and shoring, dancing the bit I can, making me foreign. Oh yeah. Talking that far in.
I just love the ambition of it, just the size of it, and like all the different
and influences. The Los Angeles of it.
The Los Angeles of it.
Like Los Angeles.
This is a record. I think this song feels the way LA does when you're moving from the city and then you're driving out into the desert. Because in the beginning, it's all hard cuts and fast and it's aggressive and you're just fighting for survival. And then suddenly the road opens up and the vistas show up and the world just swallows you up. It's just great. Anyway, love this record. And this was the first song I heard.
Oh, I love it.
Anyone else catch this record when it first came out? I don't know if you guys.
Yeah. Frank Black, yeah. Before he was Black Francis or Charles Thompson or what is he now?
Is this with the Catholics or not with the Catholics?
No Catholics. Joey Santiago's on guitar though. He has a lot of like Pixie family involved in the album. So
that's great.
Next up, Billy Fidarco.
Tommy, are we going to get a theme here? Are we sent the Pixies breakup? A little foreshadowing. Are we getting a theme tonight?
Oh, maybe. In mine? That's a good question. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Well, the listeners can solve this mystery and await your next pick. It should be good.
All right. So where would you take us?
Well, since you played the song Los Angeles, I think I should go with a band from Los Angeles.
Oh, nice.
The band is Idaho, of course, which makes perfect sense, right? Mm. A band, like I said, from California. This is from their debut album. It's called Year After Year. Idaho is part of what has been affectionately called slowcore or sadcore. You know, songs that are usually at a lower tempo, you know, sort of a counterweight to the energy and aggression of grunge. You know, Galaxy 500, I think, was probably one of the early slowcore bands. Then there are bands like Low and Red House Painters, Bedhead, American Music Club, among others. I just like to wallow in this type of stuff. It's a little bleak, a little downbeat, but it's a good time, ironically so. This song is called Save, and it's from Idaho.
Deep Cuts.
Something that you
stuff.
Yeah, you know me. I like it moody. I like
definitely
it
dreamy. Sleepy. Definitely some wallow core.
It sounds like Red House Painters. I thought so.
Yeah, his voice sounds a little bit like his.
Yeah, well, I mean, or perhaps it just has like a similar effect on you. But yeah, I love it. Nice, that nice wave of warm water just going over you.
Warm wave of sadness.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess music to wallow in. I dig it. Idaho and.
You're saying this and your Zoom background is still 80s Ken. I'm just not buying it.
That's a good point. Good point, Derek. Inadvertently happy. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to have to change that. No, it's interesting. Idaho, even though this is 1992 and then they eventually made other records, this was from their debut year after year. Someone is making a documentary about them. That's going to be, I guess, the trailer's coming out at a film festival next month. It's called Traces of Glory. It's about how this band made great music, and
to find out why they're called Idaho. Maybe
very few people knew about them. Well, they want. I guess they had a friend who was in a band called Iowa, and they're like, "Well, we can make a band with a name,
a better band called Idaho."
Oh, you're Iowa. Well, we're Idaho. So, bitch, come at me.
Yeah. All right, Chris. We're gonna rock.
Let's go with some Chicago.
Oh, no, shit.
I think I am going to speed things up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
With Mr. Matthew Sweet, the album Altered Beast, which for my money is better than Girlfriend, which is his sort of breakout record.
Second that.
Bold.
Agree. Yeah. No, I totally agree. Love it.
Altered Beast is awesome. And I'll tell you why Altered Beast has three monster guitarists on it. And appearing on various songs,
namely
Ivan Julian,
yeah,
great, Robert Quine,
yeah,
ooh, great, and the one you'll be hearing on this song, Mr. Richard Lloyd of Television.
Oh yeah, wow.
And boy does he throw down in this song. So this is the Ugly Truth rock version. There are two versions on the album of the Ugly Truth, and the softer one is amazing. Also, it's got like fiddle in it, and it's really just, it's like the best Wilco song Wilco never wrote. This is the Ugly Truth rock, and Matthew Sweet, Altered Beast, 1993. Kick it.
Deep cuts. Man, Listening on headphones, it's like they just gave him the right speaker and we're like, have the ball, do whatever you want to do.
Exactly. Just go for nuts with it. Yeah. That's some serious guitar.
I wore this record out. I loved this record. I listened to it over and over again.
It's no Girlfriend, but it's good.
It's funny. I wore out Girlfriend and then I sort of stopped listening. I think I might have burned out. But
yeah.
The year after this, he put out something called Son of Altered Beast, which is like a few, you know, outtakes, other songs, and a bunch of live stuff that was really great, too. I love that. He's got a live version of the Neil Young song called Don't Cry No Tears, which I always listen to a lot. I love that version that he did.
I remember seeing this tour with you, Derek.
Yeah, we went to see him. It was awesome.
And Ivan Julian was playing with him then on stage.
I think I was disappointed. What? It wasn't Richard Lloyd, but
I know. Well, we all were, but still.
Okay, here's a quiz. Quine, Sweet, and another artist all appeared in what album just a couple years before this? The artist is, the initials are LC.
Lloyd Cole.
Yes. So on the Lloyd Cole record, the debut record in 1990, Sweet, I think, plays bass. Ooh. Quine plays guitar.
I mean, fantastic.
So there was a lot going on. I think this was all happening in New York in the early 90s.
Yeah, when like great guitarists were working as session guys on each other's records. I mean, this whole album is fantastic. I really can't recommend it enough.
Yeah,
I mean,
me too.
It was only like Girlfriend.
All right, moving on. Rich, you're up next.
Thanks for reintroducing. I'm going to listen to that album again. That sounded sweet.
Literally.
Intended. I'm going to go with someone that I should have been listening to in 1993, but I wasn't, and I have been, and I think I mentioned I wanted to spend some more time listening to her, PJ Harvey.
Right.
That'll be my first pick tonight. You know, this time I'm sure I was listening to Kerosene Hat, Cracker album, Mazzy Star, Afghan Wigs. Those were in heavy rotation. And this woman, PJ,
Are you pulling a Tommy right now? Are you listening to all the other records?
Sorry, I just had to sneak those.
Oh, am I the one that does it now?
What are you talking about? That's you.
That's a classic. That's your move.
Nice try reframing it. Rich, please go on.
Friends, Ferns.
PJ Harvey, this album in 1993 is Rid of Me. I've been listening to it this summer and love it. This is PJ Harvey putting Tarzan in his place with Me Jane.
It's deep cuts.
Screaming, splitting through my head and swinging from the ceiling. Move it over, Tarzan. Can't you see I'm bleeding? I've called you by your first name. Good Lord, it's me. Yeah.
Oof. Oh man, what a record. She's
this album is so fierce. It's so great.
She's one of those artists. It's exactly three people.
Just a trio?
It's a trio. And I feel like she listened to blues records and she understood them the way very few people do. And man, it feels like a great blues record in the best way. Just truthful, honest, direct, minimal instrumentation, and everything is raw and ragged and filled with integrity. Oh,
I'm sorry. Was this her first record?
Second.
Okay.
Second record.
What was the first one?
Oh, Dry was first. Okay, got it.
And this is Rid of Me?
Yeah.
Yes.
What a great record. Nice pick.
Yeah, she's a great artist.
Derek, closing out our first batch.
Closing out the first round.
Yeah. Make it a good one.
So I think I'm going to stay on that side of the ocean, pick a Glaswegian band called Teenage Fan Club. You know, we kind of neglected to pick anything from, you know, their huge bandwagon-esque record in 91, you know, which is kind of a seminal record for a lot of people. You know, it beat out Nirvana and Nirvana's Nevermind and Achtung Baby for, you know, Spin's record of the year, album of the year in 91. Bandwagon-esque did, but this is their follow-up record to that. But this record called 13, and, you know, it's certainly at the time wasn't received well, you know, as sort of a follow-up to that huge, huge record. And I think it was a really difficult record for them to make. And, you know, I think that sort of colored the band's perception of it. I don't know. This song really is stuck in my head. I really like it. It kind of starts with this like super grungy, and then they kind of just go yoink, and they, you know, get into this just utter beautiful power pop, you know, sort of Beach Boys-y, Birds-y, you know, Big Star sound that they, you know, that we all sort of know from them. It's a great, you know, little pop nugget from Teenage Fan Club from their record 13. The song is called Hang On.
Nice. They bring a little flute on top of it.
Yeah,
that's lovely.
And, you know, of all the stars I've ever seen, you're the sun. But you know, they're interesting. Like all the, you know, guitarist, lead guitarist, and the bass player, they all sing. And, you know, they all take lead vocals at certain times. And they've always been really good at harmonies, and they write pretty songs.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a reason Star Sign was like the song of 91.
Yeah.
And to be clear, I don't think that was a flute. I think that was an oboe.
That's a good point, Chris.
well corrected.
Join us later for Woodwind.
Right. Actually, it's a reed instrument, but okay.
Well, is the oboe?
I don't know. I'm just
saving for the after show. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to take us to the divide between England and France, and a band that I think are really unique and special.
You're going to play a song by someone who lives in the Channel?
Yeah, I know. I was wondering.
They're straddling the two shores.
Yes, like Gulliver.
That's right.
like a colossus.
The band is Stereolab. It is the incredibly wonderful vocals of Letitia Sadler and a lot of the sort of rock and roll know-how of Tim Gain. They're a really wonderful band. I think this is just a great song. And this song sounds so modern to me. And I love it when a song from a certain time period feels like it's ahead of its time. And that's the way this one does. The song is French Disco. It's Deep Cuts, Lost and Found, Round 24. The year is 1993. Just reminds me of like bands like Wedding Present that have that driving, relentless energy where you just like you get
so
lost.
Propulsive.
Propulsive.
But so much cleaner, you know, and more mannered.
Very clean.
Than that stuff.
I love Stereolab from like 93 to 96. It's like such a good period for them. I remember I saw them in New York at a pretty small club on the next record after this. Mm-hmm. Not was Emperor Tomato Ketchup right after this, or was that two?
I think it's
either way.
Yeah,
Tomato Ketchup. They were so
music for bachelor pads.
They were so incredible live. It's just I can't.
Yeah, it's amazing to think how they would replicate this live. You know,
and they did flawlessly. Yeah,
yeah.
See, I have a bunch of Stereolab stuff, and my buddy Ross used to listen to them a lot, and I feel like I was always chasing something about them, and I think I didn't really check this record out enough, and this is what I've been trying to recapture. Like, this is what I remember him playing that I kind of hadn't come across. This is like really hit me because I was like, oh, this is it. This is what I remember loving so much.
I think a lot of my favorite stuff of them is not what they released as a single. Like, this was a bonus cut that they released, and
a bonus.
It got recorded with the Jenny Andiapolene record and never got released with it, and then they released it separately. It's kind of an amazing thing. So anyway,
I think he got Derek's vote so far.
Yeah, Derek's gonna stick this one out on vinyl.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Me likey.
Oh, we know who Derek's voting for.
Well, we'll see.
Plenty of show left, folks. Plenty of show left.
Well, Billy, you've been doing a lot of vinyl shopping. Do you own on vinyl the track that you're about to play?
No, but I do. I do have it on CD. Because in 93 I was buying CDs.
You were in CDs then, right?
Yeah, I do have
it. You want a hoodie? I mean, what are you saying? In 93 I was buying CDs.
I wasn't saying it to imply
that. Well, very boastful.
No, there's nothing boastful about it. I spent a lot
I got
of
in
money
on the ground floor on that technology.
Nice, all right, before sir. We talk Betamax, let's hear about your next track.
Right. I think I've been pivoting off your geographical cues, Tommy. You played Los Angeles, so I picked a band from Los Angeles. You're playing a band from, I don't know, London or Paris or both. Well, I'll sound like the Rube. Were they singing in English? I don't think so, right?
It's actually in English. It's actually in English. Yeah. And the lyrics are fascinating. So if you get a chance to
look them up. Yeah, of course. I mean, I knew that.
It's like weird poetry that Letitia did not write, and she's trying to keep up with the words. It's amazing.
It's like she's speaking like phonetically at a language she doesn't quite understand.
Yes, totally. Just a little bit.
I honestly couldn't understand.
Right. What's that? You know, Cocteau Twins, Elizabeth Frazier.
Oh, Elizabeth Frazier.
But that's, you know, straight up nonsense. Beautiful nonsense.
Yeah. Well, if you speak Elfish, for example. Right. No. In juxtaposition to Tommy's London and France divide, I'm going to go all the way to Lincoln, Nebraska.
Ooh. All right.
Okay. I mean, I don't know who else. I don't know who the hell else is from Nebraska. Honestly, it makes me kind of happy to think that in Lincoln, Nebraska, there was somebody listening to music like we were listening to post-punk, new wave stuff. They started a band. It's called Four Against. This is from their fourth record called Aperture. This is a band that I think deserves a lot more listens than they've gotten thus far. They're kind of a cult band. Very moody, very dreamy, almost shoegazy, but clearly inspired by the new wave and post-punk that we love. This is Four Against, Today, Today.
really nice rainy day music. Yeah, it feels.
Yeah, post-punk. Yeah, it's definitely rainy day music, I'd say. I don't know. Does anyone else know these guys?
No, it's new to me.
Yeah, has anyone else heard of them? I'd never heard of them before.
New to me.
The best band in Lincoln, Nebraska.
That's right. Nebraska sound.
We're all in the chat saying, like, trying to figure out who they were reminding us of, and we all realized Stone Roses.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's definitely got a little bit of, like, that slow, like, the Stone Roses, like, slow songs, you know.
That's interesting, because I'd never thought of that, but, yeah, I once you said it, I can hear it. I don't know that that's who they were necessarily inspired by, because they started making music, I think, in, like, 87, 88, so they're kind of around our era.
Maybe Lucy Show, too, a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I can see these guys getting, you know, they found a Chameleons record and then started a band or something, right?
Yeah, it's a deep cut.
Chris, you're up.
Is it my turn already?
It's your turn.
Well, I think I'm going to go with a band that we all sort of discovered together, but this is later in their career. It's The. The album is Dusk, and the song is Dogs of Lust. Now, I was going to pick Love is Stronger Than Death, which is my favorite song on the album, but I feel like I've played that before, like in like a like with you guys. So I've decided to go with this. It's a little more popular, but one of the things I really like about it, the headline on Johnny Marr is, "Hey, he's a great guitarist, right? He's an amazing guitarist."
Absolutely.
But, and I think this song will bear it out as Exhibit A.
What else?
Fan-fucking-tastic harmonica player.
Mouth harp.
Not what I was expecting.
So let's go. Dogs of Lust.
Kick it! Getting hot in here. It's that's like the Nelly of alternative music.
It is.
I haven't heard that in a while.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a great one.
Did we?
I know it's blasphemy to say in these circles.
Don't do it, Derek.
Then probably don't.
All right.
No, go ahead.
No, I mean, I didn't. I wasn't super into the post soul mining stuff. But I've always loved this.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. All right, so you see
this particular song has been like the post soul mining one where I'm like, yeah, all right.
He gives and he takes. Yes, exactly. Derek's way.
I like that.
He gives with the right hand, he takes with the left.
Yeah, he's good with the rod and reel.
Rich, take the rod forward. Where you want to take it?
Excuse me.
Well, that sounds like something that should have been in Bill's introduction. Yeah. Really, it's talking about cock rings.
And I was going to say, this is the phallic show after all.
Or the reel.
Where do take I put my car keys? I'm going to play something that I did listen to quite a bit in 1993. And this is one of those offshoot bands from some of those super groups that were grunging out in Seattle. Splits and spinoffs? Yeah, this is a band called Brad. You may have heard them. I listened to this quite a bit. This is their first album. It's a project with Stone Gossard from obviously.
The band's called Brad?
The band is called Brad. And interesting, speaking
never heard of them.
After the Judge Reinhold character.
Speaking of band namings, they wanted to call their album or their band Shame, but Shame was already taken by a guy who was the front man for Shame was named Brad. So they named their
album. Oh, really? That's a great story.
I like that. That's funny.
Oh, damn. Wait. What's your name? Okay. We got our band name, guys.
So, wow. This is a song from an album I burned a hole in it listening to this in 1993 by Brad. The album is called Shame, and the song is called Nadine.
It's Deep Cuts, Lost and Found. All the cool little hippie chicks just spinning around in circles. This one,
yeah, give it up for Chad. For Brad. No.
Brad.
True.
I couldn't decide what song. There's so many good songs on this album. I highly recommend listening to this.
It's very Pearl Jammy, and it's
every song's a little different.
It's a little jam bandy.
He's got that Vetter here.
Yeah.
All right, Derek, you get to close out our show. 1993, what is your second pick?
Come on, Derek. Oh, come on. So tough.
So much stuff I absolutely love this year, but...
Go ahead, give us the roll call.
What, oh, my roll call of what?
No, don't. I could have picked.
No, not going to do it.
Pull a Tommy.
Not going to do it. No, this record blew me away. Liz Phair's Exile in Guyville.
Woo!
You know, it's just, you know, there have been all these really amazing women in rock. You know, your Deborah Harry, you know, polystyrene, Kim Gordon, Chrissy Hynde. But out of this, the first, you know, the first artist that just felt like someone that you went to college with, you know, like she really kind of felt like a peer in a lot of ways. And there's something really interesting about it. But, you know, she was really ballsy. She had, you know, a certain amount of, you know, sexual frankness and sort of aggression and vulnerability as well. But it was just such a great record. I loved Exile in Guyville. This particular song is something that I go back to a lot on this, from this record, a song called Stratford on Guy. I know it's, you know, I think for her, it was a song about kind of getting away from the Chicago scene, the Guyville scene, you know, just like lots of pretentious dudes with lots of rules about what's cool. And, you know, once you get up in an airplane and you get 30,000 feet above the city, all those things just kind of fade away. But, you know, just the lyrics have this really great sort of cinematic quality to them. But it's great. Stratford on Guy by Liz Phair from her album Exile in Guyville.
Record just went off like a bomb, I think, for all of us. Just what a great pick.
This was like the record of the year. This is like,
I saw it. You already picked this. I was going to put this on there for sure.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, Derek couldn't not pick this because it has a reference to Galaxy 500.
Yeah, she named checks Galaxy 500. I'm in, you know.
For that reason alone.
Easy, easy peasy. Yeah.
I remember like reading about this album before I heard it.
Same.
Like that was at the time, like in Spin or something.
Yeah, I think it was Spin.
And then I remember like meeting some friends at a show, and like we saw some show, and then afterwards everyone I was with was talking about this album, and I had—
were you still in Chicago?
No, this was— I had just moved to New York City.
Okay.
And we went to see a show at Brownies, I forget who, and I think it was Drive Like Jehu, and then they were just talking about this record in like these rhapsodic terms. I was like, I got to get this thing.
Right, right.
So that night I like walked to Tower Records, which is open till like 11 or 12 or something, mm-hmm. and picked it up. And it blew my mind.
Mesmerizing.
It really is a game changer. It was such a big record.
And it's just good. Got this great kind of, you know, concept behind it, you know, that these are sort of like, you know, a reply to Exile on Main Street, you know, from a feminist perspective, you know, which doesn't always work. And
it does, it doesn't quite match up.
It's hard to tell whether that's really, you know, was just PR, what you really did. I mean, she does talk about that was, you know, there was that was in her head. And there are some songs that really do line up.
Sure.
But, you know, that's a great story as well, too. I love that.
Yeah. Great, great album. Great.
I believe she said that people will book seat 27D.
Oh, really?
Which she references in the song. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whenever they fly into Chicago, whether it's O'Hare or perhaps Midway, I don't know. They will book the seat 27D in view Chicago and Guyville, just like Liz Phair would.
That's interesting.
Crazy nice. Kids. Crazier than we were.
Well, that wraps up our second round.
Yourself.
Maybe so. Let's start talking through about further listening, right?
Listening.
Yeah.
So many.
Well, Derek, why don't you lead us
off? Some of you guys already did your roll call, but go ahead, do it again.
All right. I guess another record from this year that really blew me away and I still listen to this day is Swerve Driver's Mezcal Head. You know, it's not often that a band follows up like, you know, an amazing, you know, lead off record like Raise, and they came out with this, and it was, you know, so good. I love every track on it, you know, Duel and Girl on a Motorbike. There's just so much great stuff on it. And it's just, you know, just them at the top of their game. So I'm going to say Swerve Driver's Mezcal Head.
Great call.
All right. I'm going to bring up a band that we sometimes forget about, but every few years they put out an amazing record and then they put out a couple kind of wonky ones. It's The Fall.
Yeah.
They put out an album called The Infotainment Scan, which was, after a couple, I'd say, weak or at least middling records, it's an incredible return to form. And I love, they did a cover of Lost in Music by Chic on there, which is a fascinating cover. They do a song called It's a Curse, which is just a beautiful thing of just, you know, Marky Smith rattling off his own version of Shakespeare poetry into a microphone. It's just beautiful. So I recommend The Fall's The Infotainment Scan, which came out in 1993. Billy, what's your pick?
That's a really good pick. I like that album a lot. I guess I'll do what I usually do. I was going to say The Afghan Whigs.
Oh, God. Stop, boo.
here we go.
Now, everybody knows Gentlemen, so I'm not even going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it.
You already did.
Oh, did I?
You just
Oops.
Did.
Oops. I'm going to recommend The Dentists. Anybody know The Dentists?
The Dentists?
No. Yes. They put out a great record called Powdered Lobster. Sorry. It's passed like a bunch of
Powdered Lobster.
Powdered Lobster.
Get a couple of Negronis in you, and you're like from Southie.
Really? Jesus.
I know. From the mean streets of Needham. Yes. Powdered Lobster Fiasco. Just a wonderful record. I don't think it's streaming, so you'll have to probably check YouTube or wherever you can find it. But I really like The Dentist. I have a few of their records. Kind of a jangly Britpop band. The song Outside Your Inside, I highly recommend. So check out The Lobsters. Powdered Lobster Fiasco.
Very nice.
The Dentists.
Chris, The Dentists.
Further listening, what do you...
Well, no one needs to be told to check out Enter the Wu-Tang's 36 Chambers, so I'm not going to mention that one. However...
Well played.
Protect your neck.
Oh, man, that is such a... I listened to that today. It's so good. I'm going to go with Paul Weller's Wildwood. I think that's a great album.
Sure is.
It's really, really good. It's got a little mix of... you know, sort of like quieter songs and some psychedelia in it. It's really, really good. So that would be my pick.
Very nice. Rich.
I've mentioned these guys on the show before, I think, on the live show maybe. But they're a band from Seattle, shocking. This is their second full-length album. This is Love Battery. The album's called Far Gone. A lot of great songs on it. It's probably the last album I was listening to that they put out, really. But the first one was Dayglow. Two great, great albums. And you see how I got two albums in?
You did it.
Well done.
You did it. Love Battery.
It's very subtle, but then when you told us that you just did it, kind of undercut your point.
Very nice. So let's talk about where you can find us. Social media. Billy, that is your domain.
It is my domain. So check us out on Twitter at New Wave Deep Cuts, or just search for Deep Cuts Lost and Found. We are also on Patreon. Again, search for Deep Cuts Lost and Found. And find us on Facebook and send us a message if you like what you hear. Or if you don't, we don't want to hear from you.
All right. Well, I opened up the show with Frank Black from the Pixies, his first solo record debut. Los Angeles is the song. Frank Black is the album. Billy came in with Idaho and their album Year After Year, a song called Save. Chris came in with Matthew Sweet, Ugly Truth Rock. That is from his album Altered Beast. Rich came in with PJ Harvey, Me Jane. Her take on Tarzan, Rid of Me, is her second album, and what a blazer that is. Derek came in with Teenage Fan Club and a very jingly jangly, almost Brian Wilson-ish song, Hang On, from their album 13. I came in with the French-UK collaborative Stereolab. French Disco is the name of the song. Billy unleashed Four Against on us. The song is called Today Today. It's from the album Aperture. Chris came in with Deep Cut's favorite, The, and Dogs of Lust from their latter album, as it were, with the amazing Johnny Marr on harmonica. Dusk is the name of the album. And Rich came in with Brad, side project from Gossard?
Yes.
Yes, okay. And that is a song called Nadine from the album Shame. Derek closed out the show with Liz Phair and Stratford on Guy from her album Exile in Guyville. And that is a very big rock and roll show tonight. Really no wavering from the rock front, the rock bass. Everybody ready to put their vote in?
The rock.
Yeah, this very rocky.
I'm ready.
All right. On a one, a two, and a three.
Oh, looks pulled like, it out the last second.
Yeah.
Oh!
Derek wins.
So close.
Got it.
Tight one.
Very nice.
Three votes for Derek and Liz Phair.
Yep.
And two votes for Tom and Stereolab.
Very nice. Derek, you take the crown, my friend.
Frenchie Disco.
I voted for your Frenchie Disco, so, you know. Oh,
thank you.
We both win.
We both win. Everybody wins. Well,
not me. I didn't get any votes.
That's true.
Maybe or me.
I don't know.
On behalf of Derek Brain, Bill Federko, Chris Nashawaty, Rich Air, myself, Thomas Golovich, you've been listening to Deep Cuts, Lost and Found. This is round 24. 1993 is the year. We'll come on back next week, or in a couple weeks, I should say, with 1994, round 25. Thanks so much for listening in. We'll catch you all soon. It's Deep Cuts, Lost and Found.